Vaikarikat.
Vaikarikat.
From the mode of goodness.
From the mode of goodness.
Manaha.
Manaha.
The mind.
Jagnye.
Generated.
Generated.
Devaha.
Devaha.
Demigods.
Demigods.
Vaikarikaha.
In the mode of goodness.
Dasha.
Dasha.
Ten. Dik.
The
controller of directions.
Vata.
The controller of air.
Arka.
The sun.
Prachetah.
Varuna.
Ashvi.
The Ashvini Kumaras.
Vahni.
The fire god.
Indra.
The king of heaven.
Upendra.
The deity in heaven.
Mitra,
one of the 12 Adityas.
Kaha,
Prajapati
Brahma.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Shri. Translation, from the mode of goodness, the mind is generated and becomes manifest. As also the 10 demigods controlling the bodily movements. Such demigods are known as the controller of directions, the controller of air, the sun god, the father of Daksha Prajapati, the Ashwini Kumaras, the fire god, the king of heaven, the worshipable deity in heaven, the chief of the Adityas, and Brahmaji, the Prajapati, all come into existence. Purport. Vaikarika is the neutral stage of creation, and Tejas is the initiative of creation, while Tamas is the full display of material creation under the spell of the darkness of ignorance. Manufacture of the necessities of life in factories and workshops, excessively prominent in the age of Kali or in the age of the machine, is the summit stage of the quality of darkness. Such manufacturing enterprises for human society are in the mode of darkness, because factually there is no necessity for the commodities manufactured. Human society primarily requires food for subsistence, shelter for sleeping, defense for protection, and commodities for satisfaction of the senses. The senses are the practical signs of life, as will be explained in the next verse. Human civilization is meant for purifying the senses, and objects of sense satisfaction should be supplied as much as absolutely required, but not for aggravating artificial sensory needs. Food, shelter, defense, and sense gratification are all needs in material existence. Otherwise, in his pure, uncontaminated state of original life, the living entity has no such needs. The needs are therefore artificial, and in the pure state of life, there are no such needs. As such, increasing the artificial needs, as is the standard of material civilization, or advancing the economic development of human society, is a sort of engagement in darkness without knowledge. By such engagement, human energy is spoiled, because human energy is primarily meant for purifying the senses in order to engage them in satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord, being the supreme possessor of spiritual senses, is the master of the senses, Hrishikesha. Hrishika means the senses, and Isha means the master. The Lord is not the servant of the senses, or in other words, He is not directed by the dictation of the senses. But the conditioned souls, or the individual living entities, are servants of the senses. They are conducted by the direction or dictation of the senses, Therefore, material civilization is a kind of engagement in sense gratification only. The standard of human civilization should be to cure the disease of sense gratification. And one can do this simply by becoming an agent for satisfying the spiritual senses of the Lord. The senses are never to be stopped in their engagements, but one should purify them by engaging in the pure service of sense gratification of the master of the senses. This is the instruction of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna wanted first of all to satisfy his own senses by his decision not to fight with his kinsmen and friends. But Lord Sri Krishna taught him the Bhagavad Gita just to purify Arjuna's decision for sense gratification. Therefore, Arjuna agreed to satisfy the senses of the Lord, and thus he fought the battle of Kurukshetra as the Lord desired. The Vedas instruct us to get out of the existence of darkness and go forward on the path of light, Tamasima Jyotirgama. The path of light is therefore to satisfy the senses of the Lord. Misguided men or less intelligent men follow the path of self-realization without any attempt to satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord. By following the path shown by Arjuna and other devotees of the Lord. On the contrary, they artificially try to stop the activities of the senses, that is yoga system, or they deny the transcendental senses of the Lord, that is a jnana system. The devotees, however, above the yogis and jnanis, because pure devotees do not deny the senses of the Lord. They want to satisfy the senses of the Lord. Only because of the darkness of ignorance do the yogis and jnanis deny the senses of the Lord and thus artificially try to control the activities of the diseased senses. In the diseased condition of the senses, there is too much engagement of the senses in increasing material needs. When one comes to see the disadvantage of aggravating the sense activities, one is called a jnani. And when one tries to stop the activities of the senses by the practice of yogic principles, he is called a yogi. But when one is fully aware of the transcendental senses of the Lord and tries to satisfy his senses, one is called a devotee of the Lord. A devotee of the Lord. Do not try to deny the senses of the Lord, nor do they artificially stop the actions of the senses. But they do voluntarily engage the purified senses in the service of the master of the senses, as was done by Arjuna, thereby easily attaining the perfection of satisfying the Lord, the ultimate goal of all perfection. Om Tat Sat. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Jalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Bangum Langayate Givim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Such a beautiful, wonderful purport given by Prabhupada. Anything else I would say would just detract from it. So amazing analysis Prabhupada has done about the senses, sense gratification, and our deep entanglement in it.
how we are performing the stupid activity of sense gratification and the mechanics of it. How creation is mainly meant to cater to our sense gratification. And it is offered by Krishna. And it is offered by Krishna because we want it. It's our choice. It's our desire. It's a foolish desire. So, when we study the mechanics of sense gratification, how it comes about and how Krishna has made provision for it, although it's not good for us, we can get many questions in our mind. The popular question is, why would the Lord do this? Why would He give us a system and facility whereby we can get misdirected? Why is the creation laboriously made in such a manner that it actually spoils our chances of perfection? These are questions asked by materialists when we give them an understanding of how creation occurs and how we are involved in material sense gratification. But Krishna is like a very affectionate father. He says that in Bhagavad Gita too, Pitaham asya jagato, mata data pitamaha. I am your father, I am your mother, I am everything for you. In fact, I am the only one for you. And out of affection, when his children are asking for something which may apparently or really be not very conducive for their well-being, but in ignorance when they are insisting, then he provides them, and within it a mechanism by which they will understand that it is useless. Just like some kids, they have seen them being pushed by their parents to eat a full meal. Please eat spinach, please eat, you know, rice, dal, sabji, it's good for your health, etc., etc. But the child wants to just eat some chocolates. The child wants to drink some soft drinks. The child wants to do this, that, and that's enough for me. But he's asking for it. He's playing all tantrums to get that. And the father would finally, okay, if that's what you want, you take it. You buy all the chocolates you want, all the drinks that you want, and you can drink it, you can eat it. But I warn you, it's not at all good for you. What else can the father do? And then the child is eating it, doing all these things, and he gets diseased. He gets a stomach that's upset. And then while he is suffering, he will go around saying, it's because of you. If you had not given me all those chocolates and all those soft drinks, why would I be in this situation? And the father will kindly remind him, it's you who asked for it. Did I not ask you to eat the good food? That's good for your nutrition. I mean, that's nutritious for you, nourishing for you. But it's difficult for him to accept that. In the same way, in a materialistic temperament, when we are disgruntled with sense gratification, then the jnanis, they say all sorts of things. They wipe out the existence of God. This is just like kids. The jnanis, the yogis, everybody propounds a philosophy that rationalizes their choice and their way and their thought. That's what philosophy is. Philosophy means what I like, I rationalize by a system and an explanation. But nobody is bothered about what Krishna is saying, which is good for you. So that's what we understand when we hear this wonderful description.
of creation. Then it's mentioned here that all the demigods and the senses are created. And the chief of the senses is the mind, becomes manifest. The mind is the center of all the senses. Prabhupada is brilliantly explaining what is the meaning of sense gratification of the living entity and what is the meaning of sense gratification of the Supreme Lord. Sense gratification is there. There is no denial of sense gratification. But the soul actually becomes happy when Krishna's senses are satisfied using our senses. And that is the most pleasing activity, both for the Lord, beneficial activity for the living entity. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. And Prabhupada is explaining that satisfying ourselves is just going to get us into more and more problems. How sense gratification is very selfish, materially selfish, fully mundane, and how a person orients everything towards the sense gratification, how is the central focus of this material civilization, is each one is trying to gratify his senses. And when each one is trying to gratify his senses and using material resources for himself, it's chaotic. It's really chaotic. Prabhupada explains this by saying that the center of gratification is lost. He's speaking about how in a placid, clear lake, if you would drop a stone in the center, then ripples will spread out from the center to the sides of the lake. But if many people join you and everybody starts throwing pebbles, then all those ripples crash with each other and there is a chaotic situation. Nothing nice to see. So Prabhupada said, keeping Krishna the center of your sense activity is very important. If society keeps Krishna as the center, then everything is very peaceful and nice. But if everybody starts becoming the center of sense gratification, making everything their own center of sense gratification, then it is so chaotic. So material civilization, here Prabhupada speaks about sense gratification, then he specifically speaks about becoming addicted to factories and produce from factories. You see, in the conversation, Prabhupada is asking a person, you work in so-and-so place, you produce so-and-so things. And then Prabhupada is saying, finally you eat grains, fruits, vegetables. You don't eat nuts and bolts that are produced in the factory. And grains, vegetables and all, they come out of the ground. Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhava yajnyad bhavati parjanyo yajnyakarma samudbhava. That is the magic, that you plant a seed, an amazing plant and tree comes out of it, and then it gives you all the fruits, grains, vegetables, everything that you need. This is already executed by Krishna. This is a factory of material nature. It's a factory, material nature. You plant, you get food. You hardly need to do anything much. Then there is a magic cow that gives you everything that you need. Milk, cheese, yogurt. These two things are factories. Nature's natural factories. You don't need to make any separate factory. Prabhupada calls it, it's artificial to produce all these things. These are not the things that satisfy the human being. These are not the things that satisfy the soul. These are not the things that will even cater to your proper sense gratification. This is not the way to have sense gratification with machines. In Kali Yuga, people become addicted to machines. Right? It's a curse. Kali Yuga. In the Mahabharata, there is a nice conversation when I think the conversation between Agni comes to eat up the Kandava forest, and Agni approaches Arjuna and Krishna, who are sitting and conversing with each other in the forest. And then he says, looks very amazing personality, he comes and asks, I want to consume the Kandava forest. But every time I try to do that, you know, Indra obstructs it, this Takshaka obstructs it, and so and so, so and so. So Krishna urges Arjuna to help to do this, because there are many other things that are going to happen out of it. And at that time it's mentioned that Agni consumes Kandava forest and Arjuna protects the forest and Agni, and he doesn't allow Indra to attack. Then at the end of it, after he's satisfied, Agni comes and says, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. And Krishna forbids. He says, it's not for now. That's for Kali Yuga. You can give it at that time. At that time, the people become addicted to this. And for everything, they'll have a machine. And, you know, and they become addicted to that. And in order to produce that, they have all these factories. So Prabhupada is nicely explaining here that it is artificial. It's not needed. Even sense gratification with natural produce is artificial. Because in its original format, the living entity does not need all these things. He doesn't need any gratification of the senses. Because he is very happy by serving Krishna. By serving Krishna, all his needs are met. And there's nothing that he needs after that. So, why are we involved? How are we involved in sense gratification? What's exactly the contract? Contract of the senses with the sense objects. The sense objects, they are tantalizing, and the senses go behind the sense objects. And the mind programs the living entity continuously with so many ideas for sense gratification. And constantly we are thinking of sense gratification. Sense objects we contact with our senses, they leave very deep impressions. And based on those impressions, again and again, thoughts are produced. And based on those thoughts, we get propelled to endeavor to go and engage in sense gratification. It's a continuous cycle. You see. Yahi samparshaja bogha. Samparshaja. Sparsha means touch. Dhyayato vishayan pumsah sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kamah kamakrodo vijayate. That senses contacting the sense objects. So many things happen. An intense desire is born. And then once you're entangled in thinking about it, of the sense objects, your mind is occupied with thoughts of the sense objects. And then different permutations and combinations of those thoughts come up. The mind manufactures. It's a whole flux. It keeps on manufacturing all these things out of your contact with the sense objects. And then they propels you very hard, very strongly, to engage the senses in the contact with sense objects. And then you land up doing it. When you land up doing it, it creates a deep impression in the mind. A pathway is created for sense gratification of that particular type. And then as you contact again the sense object, it quickly travels down that already beaten track. And then it becomes a habit. Then it becomes such a habit that you have to do that. The objects of the senses and the senses, they become tied up. And then you become habituated to sense gratification. Various types of sense gratification. People have all types of sense gratification. Exotic sense gratification of various types. They get sick from one to the other, to the other, to the other. All sorts of crazy things people do. Because they get habituated. Completely artificial. Not necessary at all. Then the amazing thing is, the arrangement that is made is, one sense gratifier controls the other sense gratifier. So that between them, there is a tussle. And they get to know that it is useless. And out of all the great sense gratifiers, the demigods are the topmost. And they are put in touch. They are put in charge of the senses and your sense gratification. It's a wonderful arrangement Krishna has made. You guys work it out among themselves. And there's always frustration. There's severe frustration. That's why, yahi samparsaja bhoga dukkha yonaya evate adyantavantahi kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. From the beginning to the end, adi anta, it is simply misery. Therefore, nateshu ramate buddha, the intelligent people don't take part in it. Those who are buddhi, they don't take part in it. But until you see with buddhi that this is nonsense, you just helplessly keep taking part in it. And that's the whole thing about life. That's what life is for. And you plan your morning to evening to night about sense gratification. Yeah. And Prabhupada explains that the demigods control your senses. Immediate controllers. The immediate controllers of your senses are the demigods. Prabhupada explains it. Even the eyelid, for it to move and close, there is a demigod who controls it. And in the Bhagavatam, he explains, even in the matter of passing stool, that in the anus, the muscles are controlled by one demigod called Mitra. And Prabhupada explains, even in the matter of passing stool, you are controlled. You can suffer from constipation or diarrhea accordingly if the demigod so desires, and that is your karma, and then that's it. And so amazingly, these demigods are themselves great servants of the senses. But they are in charge of controlling many of our senses. And if you do and propitiate them with homa, yajna and everything, they will award you sense gratification opportunities. They are the masters. And they are also in their own world having lots of difficulties with their own propensity for sense gratification. It's amazing. Indra is a king of heaven. He has got a big history of blundering in sense gratification. Going back to Krishna repeatedly and saying, excuse me. You see, amazing things some of these demigods did. No wonder other religious people come and ask us, your gods do all these crazy things? How do you worship them? That was a very powerful lesson for me when I first came to Krishna consciousness and I heard repeatedly Prabhupada saying, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. He is Bhagavan and everything. And in my younger days, I studied in a Christian missionary school. So in the Christian missionary school, they would ask us to go in. I used to go to the Sunday school and we had this catechism classes and we had to go for, I would kneel in the pews and, you know, and my mom used to say, just you, if they force you to do it, just go there, but then you pray to Saraswati and Ganapati, you know. And all the shlokas I knew. Saraswati namastubhyam varade kamarupini vidya rambam karishyami. You get very good studies. So I'd kneel in the pews there in the church along with all the students and I would be chanting these things. And knowing that I'm not giving up this, some of these Christian, you know, there were these mothers and all of them, I know some names, they would come and through their other students, they were given things like, they show Kali's picture and the tongue hanging out and the hands like this and just killing something. And then they would show Jesus Christ, very nice, with a halo around his head and all that. And they would say, you're worshipping this God? See how fierce looks, with the tongue hanging out and the, you know, fire coming out of her nose and smoke coming out of her ears. Look at all this trishul and this thing. And look at this God. You people are worshipping this or this. And I would feel, yeah, why are we worshipping Devi? She does all these crazy things. And it's nice to be a Christian. We don't have gods like that. But these demigods were like that. They are not actually the real god. I didn't understand it. In India, you have, you know, tons of demigod worshippers. Everybody is worshipping demigods, especially in South India. So I just couldn't understand it. Why god worship is so bad and why the gods are looking so bad. You see. You have all these stories. When you hear all these stories, Indra, he, Ahalya, you know, he turned her into a stone. He became Gautama, Ahalya's husband, because she was very beautiful. She was a chaste lady. He just took the form of Gautama and went and had illicit connection with her. And then she came to know afterwards that this is not my husband, this is Indra. And then she cursed him. That, you know, all sorts of dirty things happened. And this guy, Indra, he went back to Krishna, went back to the Lord, and then he prayed for it, and he was haunted, and he was, all sorts of things happened to him. These are all our great generals who are controlling our senses. Brihaspati, he is the spiritual master of the demigods. He had an illicit relationship with his brother's wife while she was pregnant. He forced her into a sexual union. This is mentioned, Bhagavatam Prabhupada describes, so are the activities of the demigods. It's mentioning beautifully. And what to speak of moon, Soma. You know, the Brihaspati did this. Then he fights with the, you know, the moon god, Soma. His wife has an illicit connection with Soma, moon, Chandra. And then she becomes pregnant. I think her name is Tara. She becomes pregnant. And then Brihaspati becomes suspicious because he knows his whole sense gratificatory history. So he becomes suspicious about her and he says, that, whose kid is this you're pregnant with? And then she refuses to say it. Then he forces her, you have to tell me, otherwise I curse you. And then he calls her aside and then she reveals, actually this is Chandra's kid, not your kid. I'm pregnant. And then there's a big fight that happens between moon. The demigods join, split into two, and there's a big commotion. And then this kid is born. He happens to be Budhan. You know, in horoscope, in all the houses, you'll see Buddha. Extremely intelligent and a beautiful looking child. Because moon, very nice looking. And Tara, they had an association. So then the fight goes on for the kid. Brihaspati fights as my kid. Then he said, no, technically it's mine. Chandra comes and says, I am the seed-giving father. And there's a huge fight for that too. There's a huge fight for that. And then the kid turns around and tells the mom. Budhan turns around and tells the mom, what an unchaste lady you are. I am born out of you, out of your illicit connection with this. And then Indra gets involved. And then he takes Budhan, and then so many things happen. It's a complete mess. And these are the people, they were, you know, from the mode of goodness generated the demigods in the mind. And the demigods are in charge of your sense gratification and the senses. So it's amazing that nothing is good in this world really. Anything to do with sense gratification is a complete mess. It's a big risk the living entity takes. To get into this world, inside this mess of a creation, and try to have eke out a little bit of sense gratification. It's so much labor, so much of trouble. That's why the jnani decides it's not worth it. He says, forget it. No senses at all. He feels there shouldn't be anything to do with this. That's why his conception of the absolute truth is, boy, with all this mess with sense gratification, the Lord should not have senses. The supreme absolute that I conceive of shouldn't go through the same thing that I go through, right? And I have to go through in which I have renounced. I want to conceive of a supreme absolute doesn't have senses. No form. That's his frustration. Out of frustration, he rationalizes and conceives absolute without this. So, Adivantavanta Kaunte, Nateshu Ramate Buddha, intelligent, Jnani. But Prabhupada says, that's not enough. That doesn't mean conquest of the senses. That's again a tottering platform, right? It's a devotee who knows exactly everything to do with the senses. What it is, how it is, how it should be employed. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So for a devotee coming from a sense gratificatory background, he understands, develops love for Krishna a little bit and then gets a little interested. Understanding some little theory, some jnana, some little awakening of some amount of bhakti and addiction to fruitive activity and sense gratification. With this combination, his intelligence tells him that this is correct. What's explained here is correct. Svalpam api asya dharmasya. He makes a little improvement in this direction. Then he starts up devotional service. In the devotional service is a great challenge. At that time, sense gratification rears its ugly head quite often. Quite often, sense gratification will trouble you because of habit. Like I mentioned to you, forming these nice beaten tracks and they are habituated. And to get out of those habits becomes a huge challenge. Because my bhakti is also not awakened fully. And I have made this resolution to keep away from sense gratification. Neither am I able to perform that properly, keep my mind free from sense gratification, nor am I able to engage fully in devotional service. Torn between the devil and the deep sea, they say. You know, like Trishangu Swargam. In the Mahabharata, there's a description of how Trishangu, you know, in his chandala type of body, was sent by all these rishis and sages up. Who is that great personality? He sent him up. And the demigod said, get lost. With this type of a thing, you can't come here. So he was going up and down. From the demigod, demigod's planets right down, down. And then the sages created for him Trishangu Swargam, in between top and bottom. Another place. So normal phrase is like, neither here nor there. Thrown between the devil and the deep sea. Sometimes you feel. And the Bhagavatam says, doesn't matter, even if it's like that. Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajan apakkavo atapate tato yadi. That you took this wonderful decision to become a devotee of the Lord. Tyaktva swadharmam. Give up all your swadharma and all these material activities and duties. Charanam bhujam hare. You held on to the lotus feet of Hari. And then you did apakva bhajan. Bhajan apakva. Pakha and apakha. 100% perfect devotional service and lower level of devotional service. Not perfect. Bhajan apakva. Atapate tato yadi. Because of that you fell down from your devotional service also. Right? You left material sense gratification, your relatives, your connections and everything. They, you know, cried, don't do this. It's not good for you. And you said, no, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. I am going to renounce, blah, 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 everything you did. And Maya says, yes, do it, do it. You do it. I'll have a better hold on you. And you do all that. And then you start worshipping the Lord. And then you maybe join the temple. You shaved your head. You put on a tilak. And then you put all these things externally. And then, boom, Mr. Sense Gratification has not left you. He rears his ugly head inside you and tortures you, disturbs your Krishna consciousness, doesn't allow you to chant properly, doesn't allow you to focus on reading, can't do your devotional service, all sorts of problems you have. The Bhagavatam says, doesn't matter, you've still done a great job. Yatrakva va badram abut amushyakim kovart abhajatam swadharmatah. So what does it matter? It doesn't matter. You are better off doing imperfect devotional service than doing perfect material swadharma. Perfect material varnashrama activity you do, you don't get anything. Because it's meant for your sense gratification. But you tried to give up sense gratification and imperfectly served the Lord, it is far better. It's a statement from Bhagavatam. Then for those people who feel that they have to pay attention to sense gratification because I'm not able to give it up, I'm not able to stop thinking about it, not able to steer myself clear. Krishna again says, Kaunteya pratijanahi name bhakta pranashati. My devotee and his attempt to perform devotional service will never be a failure. This does not mean it gives us license to engage in sense gratification plus do devotional service. That's not the point. The point is that in your struggle, in your positive struggle to move towards pure devotion to Krishna, when your senses are like serpents, they actually kill you, try to kill your spirit of sense, spirit of devotional service. Don't give up. Don't give up. Like Prabhupada is mentioning here, their senses are meant for serving the senses of the Supreme Lord. Stick to it. Even though your mind is saying so many things. There's a beautiful shloka in the 12th canto where Krishna is describing to Uddhava, my devotee, although his senses challenge him. What is that shloka? I forget. Badhyamano apimat bhakta hai, vishayan ajitendriya hai, pragus pragalbaya bhaktya vishayan nabi bhuyate. Badhyamano apimat bhakta hai. Baddha, he is a conditioned person. Although he is, looks like he is entangled with the senses. Badhyamana apimat bhakta hai. My devotee, although it looks like he is stuck up in sense gratification, vishayan ajitendriya hai, with the objects of the senses, and ajitendriya hai, looks like he is lost. He is not jita, he is not one over the senses, but he is gone down and the senses have overcome. Vishayan ajitendriya hai, pragus pragalbaya bhaktya vishayan nabibhuyate. No, those sense objects will not be able to conquer my devotee because I will be present there with him in his fight against his senses. You see, so it's Krishna is not saying artificially that no, you'll never have any problem with sense gratification after you surrender to me. He's saying you will fight, and in your fight I'll be with you, and it'll look like you're losing, but if you keep on, you will win. Kaunteya pratijanahi name bhakta pranashati. You see, I like this more realistic explanation of Krishna than an artificial explanation like the gyanis give. Completely wipe out sense gratification. It never happens in anybody's life. You can hear the stories of all the demigods, all Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods engaged in this type of gratification. And what to speak of you and me? What to speak of you and me? So the more we engage, Prabhupada is giving a brilliant hint here, is that the more you engage your senses in the service of the Supreme Lord, the more purified they will become. And this is the business of life. Business of life, like Prabhupada explains here, is to purify your senses. How to purify my senses of the proclivity for sense gratification? How to consider I must do this for the satisfaction of Krishna, not for my satisfaction, not for my stupid happiness. My real benefit and welfare lies in trying to satisfy and please Krishna. That is why the gopis are so dear to Krishna. That is why the gopas, the gopis and the brajavasis are so dear. They don't think of themselves at all. They simply don't think of themselves. They can only think of how to please Krishna. If they see Krishna happy and pleased, they are happy. They are 100% surrendered to Krishna. And seeing that they are like that, Krishna chooses to serve them. Such devotees who are completely surrendered to Krishna, I don't think of anything else but Krishna. Krishna serves these devotees. That is why he is standing on a chariot with Arjuna, with a whip in his hand, with the reins in his hand. He is standing on a platform lower than Arjuna. Arjuna is on the seat, higher seat. And the whole Bhagavad Gita is being spoken like this. Arjuna is, you know, Krishna is speaking like this and Arjuna is hearing from a higher level. He is a driver. It's an amazing position that Krishna takes for a person who has given up sense gratification. He has understood that it is useless. It's foolish. And there's so much pleasure in serving Krishna. And Krishna awards that pleasure to his devotee. So, Prabhupada has brought an amazing science of devotional service to the forefront with a very deep technical explanation in this purport. And if we can understand this and follow it, not only that Prabhupada has explained, he has given us practically lots of nice tools to execute it. How to use our effort, how to use our abilities in the service of Krishna. He has crafted this beautiful society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he has given immense amount of variety of services that you can engage in. And by doing these services to the Lord, we can purify our senses. We can become free from sense gratification. And this is a guarantee given by Prabhupada. So that's why we are endeavoring to continue to serve and gradually purify ourselves under the lotus feet of Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Alright. Any questions or comments? Yes, Arun. That is, what did he fall down from and to what did he fall down? Vishwamitra did not fall down from pure devotional service. He didn't fall down from pure devotion. He didn't ask for it. He was interested in becoming a Brahma Rishi and he did become one. Watching Vashishta, you know, produce from his cow all the facilities that's required. Vishwamitra was a king. He saw that and said, just a small sadhu in the forest, in a small kutir with one cow, he fed my whole army with opulent food. And he gave so much facilities, tents, staying places, everything for everybody. So what's the use of me being king? I labor so hard to get all these things. This man is doing it like this. Then it's better to be a Brahma Rishi like him. He tried to steal the cow. He did all sorts of things and all that. Finally, he performed penances, austerities. And then he became... That is what he wanted. He wanted the powers that Vashishta possessed as a Brahma Rishi. So he fell down from that repeatedly. And that's meant for falling down only. It's not meant for staying in one place. Right? But a devotee of the Lord... Because he is fixed in getting Krishna. His fall down is not really a fall down. Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita. In that famous shloka where he says, what is the shloka? He says, Apichat Sudaracharo Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak Sadhur Eva Samantavya Hai Samyak Yavasito Hi Saha Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma Saswat Shantim Nigachati Kaunteya Pradijana Hi Name Bhakti Pranashati. He says that even if my devotee falls down, Apichat Sudaracharo, if he does some abominable activity, you must consider him to be still a sadhu because his mind is fixed on me. Very soon he'll get out of this. Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma, he'll become a great soul very soon because the object of his desire is me. That itself is supremely purifying. I want to get to Krishna. And then whatever little slip and this thing and all that is not even consequential. But for persons who are desiring material benefit, theirs is not fall down because they never got up. They were never standing. That's why Prabhupada is criticizing even the Mayavadis. He said they are another set of guys who are involved in sophisticated sense gratification. Because they are enjoying spiritual life for themselves and decrying Krishna. He is saying that will not last for too long. See, that's why sometimes I think that even if our devotees fall down, many of them continue to chant Hare Krishna and they hang around the temple. They're very humble. They're not puffed up like all these great rishis and sages. They go, I'll do tapasya, I'll burn you, I'll do that. All that. They're much better off. They're much better off. You see, I tell devotees that some of our fallen gurus and fallen devotees are far better than these Mayavadis who are going around initiating people and showing, you know, I am that, I am this, and you know, I am God and everything. They never got up. They're eternally fallen down because they think I am God. But devotees, a small devotee swept the floor a little bit and came in front of Radha Vallabh and said, I don't know what's happening, I don't know who you are, but everything sounds very good here. I ate some prasadam. He's far more elevated. So much is the value of pure devotional service introduced by Prabhupada. A great opportunity. See? So falling down from the level of devotional service, actually falling down, which Krishna is saying is not a fall down, you'll make it back. Because you came to me, you served me, I will benefit you. I will not leave you alone. Right? But if you worship the demigods and you get their, you know, this thing, they'll say, no, no, not paka, get lost. It's business. But Krishna is your father. He's so merciful to you. You show a little devotion to him, he will take you back. So for a devotee, there is no fall down. Although apparently there is a fall down in your sadhana and everything. You make it up. Is the distinction understood? Yeah. Don't associate with the demigods. No, but beyond the demigods is Krishna. Krishna is mentioned as the real controller of the senses. He controls both the demigod senses and yours together. Then the demigods are just sub-controllers. That's when you're not a devotee and you're not interested in sense gratification, Krishna, I said, outsources them to you. Okay, you guys manage, outsourced. But when you start trying to be a devotee, then you come under the purview of Krishna's control. Right? No, if you desire sense gratification, then you will get messed up again. You become disturbed.
Sages are doing their sacrifices, and he used to be a
That's because that's what he wants. Indra wants that sense gratification, that position. All these are very subtle, fine sense gratification. That's even more dangerous. The material people are into some gross form of sense gratification. The demigods have very subtle sense gratification. Far more intense. High quality. Yes. Krishna Prema Das. The king of heaven, the worshipable deity in heaven. Good question. It's not mentioned here. Vahani, fire god, Indra, the king of heaven, Upendra, the deity in heaven. Well, actually, what is the shloka? Vamana's another name is what? Upendra, no? I think Upendra is the name of Vamana. He is the brother of Indra when he came as was born out of Kashyapa and Aditi. So his name is Upendra because he happens to be the brother of Indra. That's how. And here it's mentioned Upendra, the deity in heaven. I don't know. It may be something to do with Vamana, Upendra. We can check up.
Thank you, Prabhupada, for the class, Raj. Raj, you mentioned about impressions.
Impressions.
There are thoughts, there are impressions, and they trigger. So, while we are practicing devotional service, and we have our regulative principles, chopped down for us, and we appreciate them in external practice, as well as through developing a behavioral appreciation for them, yet the impressions keep on oscillating, coming, going. So, my question is, as practicing devotees, we may not really fall down in strict terms, yet we may be victims to the impressions that we carry from our previous engagements. So, how do we deal with the consequential reaction that we have to such impressions popping up, knowing they are inappropriate, knowing that they are, a cause of our eventual fall?
Well, we have to go through that gray area. Devotional service is not that, like switching a light on and off. As soon as I start chanting Hare Krishna, I'm a devotee, everything should be clean. We definitely have to go through a trance, area where we are in a situation of this and that together. And we have to transcend that. In fact, it serves a purpose. If a person is sincere in his devotional service, sincerely interested in achieving the shelter of Krishna, then he will definitely see this as impediments. And the more he sees this as impediments, the more he will force himself to surrender to Krishna, the more he will pray to Krishna, the more he will depend on Krishna. In this way, our prayer becomes more intense, or sadhana becomes more focused. So, although a devotee may suffer these things, his intensity and focus will also increase if he is sincere in Krishna consciousness. And then by that, he gets purified. And gratually, the sense gratificatory tendency will, give up hold on him. Because it's tied up with our desire. When our desire gets purified to get Krishna, then naturally these desires will disappear. So that's something you have to go through. We can't immediately be fully pure. Prabhupada defined those devotees who are sincere in their devotional service and want to achieve Krishna, he said they are pure devotees. There's an explanation given by Prabhupada in his purports. Because they're sincerely wanting to purify themselves. The demigods may be sincere, they know devotional service, but they're really addicted to sense gratification. When you become addicted to sense gratification to such a great extent and it really hinders your progress or makes it very slow, then maybe Krishna will choose to give you the sense gratification so you get done with it. Prabhupada made a comment that some of my disciples will be born in heavenly planets. That's determination. Determination gets affected by to that extent when it is so, then Krishna will adjust it. Still he takes into consideration that you have a desire for coming back to me. Clean you up a little bit by giving you the sense gratification that you want and making you intensely suffer, and then you may now purely desire. Your determination for sense gratification is broken because of your experience and please save me. You know, whatever is required, Krishna will engineer it. Depends on different living entities have different types of sankalpa. Okay. Om Tat Sat Srila Prabhupada Ki Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gaur Premanande.